chapter 20, Prophecies Concerning Babylon Mystical. We have already treated of Babylon in history and the fulfillment of the prophetical revelation concerning her, and now we wish to deal with Babylon in mystery to show how the former is typical of the latter and what prophecies concerning the latter have been or have yet to be fulfilled. In the first place, we must consider this mystical Babylon and try to identify her and what is signified thereby. To do this, we must look at the full name and description of her given in the revelation to the Apostle John. There she is called Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She is further described as the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, which are later explained as representing peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. With her, the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Moreover, she is represented sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. She herself is arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Lastly, she is called that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, how are we to identify this personage? Well, there are several distinct features in this divine description, which enable us to indubitably trace out the mystery and put our finger upon the character set forth in such vivid language. In the first place, she must be a false or apostate church. The figure of a woman is often used in Scripture to indicate a church. Thus, in this same revelation, the true church of Christ is described as a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, presumably representing the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And later on, she is called the bride, the Lamb's wife. Also, in the Old Testament, the Jewish church is often described as being married to her covenant God, and by a similar figure, a backsliding or apostate church is represented as an unfaithful wife defiled with fornication. Thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, for I am married unto you. To go a step further, the beast on which this notorious character is seated identifies her with Rome. This beast is the last of the four beasts which both Daniel and John saw, and represents the Roman Empire as succeeding the Babylonian, the Persian, and the Grecian, typified by the three earlier beasts. This is further confirmed by the fact that this beast has seven heads, which represent seven mountains, since the city of Rome is called the city of the seven hills, being built upon that number of eminences. We are thus brought to the conclusion that Babylon in mystery is none other than the Church of Rome, originally a true church of Christ, but now become a false and apostate one. This conclusion is strikingly corroborated by the other delineations given to John of this character seated on the beast. Of what church is it so true as it is of the Church of Rome in her present apostasy, that she has extended her influence over many peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, that she has reigned over the kingdoms of the earth and made the inhabitants of the earth drunk with the wine of her fornication, that is, the false doctrines and practices which have rendered her apostate. Wherever her influence has spread, the people have become infatuated and, as it were, drunken with her blasphemies and idolatries. But in case there should be any doubt about the guilty party here described, let us read one other accusation brought against her, which will be found such an accurate description as to make it impossible to miss the mark. Drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, who, reading the authenticated history of our own country alone, and the cruel persecutions, inquisitions, and burnings of saints and martyrs which have characterized those periods during which the Romish Church has prevailed, can fail to see this dreadful mark largely and legibly written across her forehead. Having brought the matter to this point, to identify the character represented by this mystery, Babylon the Great, let us now see how she was typified by Babylon in history, the ancient Babylonian Empire. This will give us further evidence that we are on the right track in identifying the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth with the Church of Rome. We shall find a similarity between the two Babylons in the following particulars. First, in their greatness and prosperity. Ancient Babylon styled herself the Lady of Kingdoms and said, "I shall be a lady forever. I shall not sit as a widow." So also mystical Babylon says, "I sit a queen and am no widow." Again, Nebuchadnezzar said, although in his pride, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built?" And Daniel says to him, "Thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth." So, on the other hand, mystical Babylon is called that great city Babylon, that mighty city. Then, as to their riches, Babylon of old was termed the Golden City, and Jeremiah says of her, "O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures." And is not Babylon in mystery called that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls? And is not this true of the papacy? What ill-gotten gain she possesses, and what purple and scarlet with gold and precious stones decorate her altars and churches and all her dignitaries from the Pope downwards. How has she demanded or solicited the wealth of all nations that have fallen under her spell, and at times extended her dominion over all the kingdoms of the earth, at least of the Western Roman Empire. Second, another feature of similarity between the two Babylons is that they have infatuated and intoxicated the nations with their own riches and wickedness. Jeremiah says of ancient Babylon, that she hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. So of mystical Babylon it is said, the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Has not this also been fulfilled in the history of the papacy? The unfaithfulness of the Church of Rome to the heavenly bridegroom, the errors and evils that constitute her apostasy, have at times spread their intoxicating influence throughout the nations of the earth and cast a spell over all who have drunk of her cup. The theatrical show of her services, performed by her priests clothed in rich and colored vestments and accompanied by the strains of beautiful music and the perfume of incense, all appealing to the senses of the worshippers, the idolatrous adoration of images of Christ and the Virgin Mary, or of the blasphemous wafer god exalted by the priests in the Mass, the easy remission of the worst of crimes obtained merely by making confession to a priest and receiving his absolution, all these things have been swallowed down as sweet wine, exhilarating and yet intoxicating the affections of her devotees. Third, a third point of likeness between these two Babylons of Scripture is to be found in their blasphemies. Babylon of old is represented by Isaiah as saying, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. So also with mystical Babylon, Daniel prophesies thus concerning the little horn that should rise up on the head of the beast. He shall speak great words against the Most High. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Also the apostle describes this man of sin as one who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In whom has this been fulfilled so much as the Pope of Rome, setting up at first the bishop as an order of church officer above that of presbyter or pastor? It was an easy step in the same direction to give the bishop of Rome ecclesiastical authority over the bishops of other churches, and out of this grew up the blasphemous assertion in later years that the bishop of Rome, or the pope, was the direct successor of Peter, and held the position of vicar of Christ on earth, all peoples and kings and rulers being necessarily subject to him. He, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, claiming subservience and obedience from all the people of the earth and their kings and rulers. Fourth, another similarity we have between these two Babylonian empires is their fighting against the Lord's people and being allowed to prevail over them for a time. Of the Chaldean or Babylonian empire, the Lord said by Jeremiah, I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon and shall slay them with the sword. This, as you know, came to pass, as it is recorded later. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. Of the antitypical Babylon, Daniel prophesies, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. While in the Revelation it is said, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints. We have already referred to this aspect of popery in considering the Church of Rome as being represented by the woman on the beast. And indeed, this indictment may be truly brought against her wherever she has gained an ascendancy, whether against the Albigenses and Waldenses in the Alps, or the terrible massacre of the Huguenots on St. Bartholomew's Day in France, or the whole-scale destructions effected by the Duke of Alva in Holland, or the terrible cruelties of the Inquisitors in Spain, or the fearful burnings of martyrs in our own beloved land in the reign of Queen Mary. What an awful catalogue of crimes will that perverted system have to answer for when the Lord arises to judge her? Fifth, this brings us to the prediction of the fall of Papal Rome, which is in several respects described in exactly similar language to that used against ancient Babylon. Of the latter, Isaiah wrote, "Babylon is fallen," and of the other Babylon, John says, "Babylon is fallen, that great city," and again, "Babylon the great is fallen." So also the suddenness of their fall. Jeremiah says of the Babylon of his days, "Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed," while of mystical Babylon it is written, "In 1 hour is thy judgment come, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught," and again, "For in 1 hour she is made desolate." The awful weight of judgment, which has sunk the one beyond remedy, and will so do to the other in the Lord's time, is also expressed in terms of great similarity. The Lord's word to Jeremiah of ancient Babylon was, "Thou shalt bind a stone to it, and cast it into the midst of Euphrates, and thou shalt say, Thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her." And what does John say of mystical Babylon in the spirit of prophecy? "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all." Sixth, again, was Babylon of old made utterly desolate? So shall her counterpart be brought to desolation. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah speak of the former. Isaiah says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation." And Jeremiah takes up the burden of woe. "I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, and will make it perpetual desolations. Cast her up as heaps, destroy her utterly, let nothing be left of her." Now, if we turn to our modern Babylon, it is said of her, "The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Seventh, so utterly destroyed and desolate are they, that they become a home for wild beasts. "Wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. So said Isaiah of Babylon of old. And a similar prediction we have of the new Babylon, for it is said that she is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. 8. Again, the destruction of each of these is so great and notable an event as to move the whole earth. All stand amazed and bewail the mighty downfall. Jeremiah says, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. On the other hand, it is said of the great whore, the kings of the earth shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. 9. Another feature in which we can draw the comparison is that these judgments come as a terrible recompense and retribution. So writes Jeremiah of ancient Babylon, I will recompense them according to their deeds, and according to the works of their own hands. Take vengeance upon her, as she hath done, do unto her. And again, I will render unto Babylon all their evil that they have done in Zion, in your sight, saith the Lord. The same requital awaits our Babylon of today. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double, according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Here then we have the judgments which were pronounced against Babylon of olden times, and in similar language we have the judgments which are threatened to overtake mystical Babylon, and as the former came to pass, and Babylon that then flourished is laid utterly waste and desolate, so surely may we look for these devastating judgments to overtake Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, until she is no more. Then will the true church of God rejoice and say, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. How near we may be to this great event, we do not know. We know it will come suddenly, and the time of it is indicated as being under the pouring out of the seventh vial. For after the great and mighty earthquake included under that vial of wrath, it is said, and the great city was divided, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. The 10 kings of the Roman Empire, who give their power to the papacy, shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, when they have fulfilled the will of God, and his time is ripe for her downfall. How far the terrible providences which we have witnessed are tending toward that end, we cannot tell at present. But that they are so tending must be certain, because this is the end appointed for that wicked system. whether it is to be allowed to rise to any measure of power again before its fall takes place, is also a matter which only time will prove in the unfolding of the purposes of God. 10th, we will now conclude this chapter of divine prophecy with the plain direction given to the Lord's people as to their attitude towards this mystery, Babylon the Great. And here again we can make the comparison in the similar language used concerning the two Babylons. Of the latter, Isaiah says to the people of Israel, "Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her." So also Jeremiah, "Remove out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord." In a similar manner, the Lord's people in these days are exhorted with regard to the Babylon of popery. "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." May grace be given us to follow this exhortation and keep clear of that wicked system, whether found in the Church of Rome itself, or in the foolish imitation of her in the Church of England.